afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 217th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. This is part three of a special three-part series of interviews pre-recorded in Bangor with three powerful professional women, all friends, and all running for public offices. Today, my guest is Marwa Hassanan. While she is not foreign-born, as most of my guests on this program tend to be, she was born to Egyptian immigrant parents in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and lived the life of a first-generation immigrant, later marrying an Egyptian man. Thus, she has been directly impacted by the issues of immigration all her life. Marwa and her husband moved to Maine in 2005 and are raising four children, all currently attending Bangor Public Schools. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Marwa.
Thank you for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure. So your parents came to the United States for higher education, and you were then born and raised in Stillwater, Oklahoma, in a Muslim family. I wonder if you could help paint a picture for us, what life was like for you and your brothers there as kids.
Sure. Life was wonderful. I always tell people that I was blessed to be raised bicultural and bilingual, really having the best of both worlds. My parents came as immigrants, so that was a very new experience for them, but they never made us feel like we have to be one way or the other, even though they were very traditional Egyptians themselves. But they allowed us to, you know, embrace both cultures, both identities. We traveled to Egypt every summer to visit grandparents and aunts and uncles. But at the same time, we did everything like our peers and classmates around us. Stillwater is a very, very, very nice small college town. Very similar to Orono here, in the sense that it's filled with international students and people from all over the world. The faculty members, there are a lot of international students and a lot of obviously American students as well. So we truly embraced that. We did a lot of things with our international friends from all over the world, but we also lived normal American lives. You know, my brothers played football. They played soccer. We did, you know, I was a gymnast. So we did everything normally. We went to the mosque there, but we were allowed to celebrate Christmas, and we did Christmas carols with our Christian friends, and we visited local synagogues. And so I truly, truly am grateful for my parents for allowing us to, you know, live life normally with everybody, all walks of life and different, you know, backgrounds. And they also helped us truly embrace our roots. We have Egyptian roots, yes, but we're also American. So we were teasingly joked and called Egyptian Okies. So Egyptians from Oklahoma. So that was kind of who we were. I think we were the only Egyptian families there, but it was something to be celebrated and not something that was to be embarrassed of.
Yeah, you know, in the 30s and 40s, families were often quickly dismissing their other culture.
Correct.
And your family, a little bit later on, knew to hold on to that.
Absolutely.
What language did you speak at home?
Arabic. Huh. So standard Arabic is very difficult. So we spoke an Egyptian dialect of Arabic. And that's something that we are fluent in, both my brothers and I. We speak, we write Arabic, so it's something that I'm very, very proud of and something that I hope that my kids are as well, especially now that Arabic is such a hot language.
Yeah. Kudos to your parents for making sure that you learned
the native language.
And are you working on Arabic with your children?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you speak Arabic in your home here?
We do. Now, I consider English as my first language, so immediately, you know, any kind of situation, if I'm excited, if I'm happy, you know, if I'm angry, I go to English immediately. So, but I do speak it. I speak Arabic fluently. But that's not what I go to. Yeah. You dream any kind of extreme. I dream in English. Yeah. That's how you really know. That's a question that everybody asks me. What language do you dream in? It's English.
Yeah. What was your public school experience like in Stillwater, Oklahoma?
You know, my parents value public education, and my brothers and I attended public schools. It was a wonderful school system. We were with a lot of international students, you know, children of immigrants, like my parents or faculty members that came from abroad. So, you know, I had Chinese classmates, I had Middle Eastern classmates, I had, you know, classmates from all over the world. So that was something that was very beautiful. And that's why, until today, I value public education, just because I had a wonderful experience. And I know that truly, if you, you know, have the right faculty members or school administrators, then public education is the way to go. Although I do have friends that argue against that, but I'm for public education.
It's a great position to be in when you're running for school board.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Your father taught at Oklahoma State University in Stillwater. Is that where you attended college?
It is. I did my undergraduate in technical writing from OSU, and that was something that was very important for me. Again, being bilingual and growing up that way, I've always had a passion for languages and how it all came back to me as a bilingual child, language acquisition and second language acquisition and all of that was very important. So I even did master's from OSU and TESOL, which is teaching English as a second language and linguistics. And then moving here, and then afterwards, I moved to Maine and unfortunately didn't find a linguistics department here at UMaine. So I have to change to education. And that's what I'm in right now, the education field.
So you have a master's degree in education.
Correct. So I have a master's degree in education from the University of Maine, and the specialty is curriculum instruction and assessment.
What a fabulous tool to bring as a candidate for school board.
Thank you.
Yeah. Not only are you publicly educated, but you also know what that looks like when it's running well.
Absolutely.
I bet you have some good ideas. Later, you married an Egyptian physician that you'd met on vacation. In 2005, you made your lives together in Bangor, Maine, which is considered a medically underserved area. This is one of the ways that foreign physicians can come to the United States, by serving for 3 years in a more rural location. But what was it that made you fall in love with the area enough to want to stay here after that 3 years and raise your 4 children?
So I'll be honest, when we first came, you know, I loved the area. We moved here. It was July when my husband started practicing, and you know, we fell in love with the beautiful nature. And you know, we went to Bar Harbor and Acadia National Park. So it was beautiful. We fell in love with the area, but we, you know, it wasn't diverse back then. Like around 15 years ago, it wasn't as diverse as it is now. Now that we have more and more J-1 visa holders. So initially, we thought, okay, 3 years, he would get his green card and we would leave. We've been here 15 years. So it's, you know, it's truly the community feeling that we love, that a lot of people know one another. I feel very safe here. I feel like my kids are safe here. You know, I'm not naive to the opioid epidemic and other things that are going on, but still, I feel like, you know, there's a village around me. I know my neighbors. They know me very well. A lot of the parents of my children's classmates are amazing. So I truly feel like we're blessed. We're blessed to live here and raise our children in an area that values that community feel. So I don't foresee us leaving anytime soon. I do want our children to all graduate from Bangor High School, and who knows, they may even go to college here. So that's something that I love. It reminds me of my hometown of Stillwater.
Yeah, I can see a lot of likenesses, and maybe we're becoming more like Stillwater as we have more diversity.
Absolutely. I hope.
Do you have a sense of where people are coming from more recently?
I think there are still a lot of J-1 visa holders, as I mentioned, and honestly, everywhere. Mm-hmm. We do have Middle East, but we also have a lot of Asian physicians, and you know, I've met people from everywhere, really, even the UK, and have met an Australian. So, which was surprising, you know, Bangor, Maine. But I have met people from everywhere, and I love that.
And the number one immigrant in Maine.
Yes.
Canadians.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No one ever talks about them.
That's very true.
They're our biggest You make substantial contributions to this community. You teach at the community college. You serve on local boards at one of the auxiliary Penobscot County Medical Society and at the Maine Multicultural Center. I know you're deeply networked into this community. What is it that drives you to be so actively involved in your community?
Well, to start, my mom was very active as we were growing up. So I love that. She's my role model then, and she's still my role model. She's someone I truly look up to and want to be like. You know, I say that as a grown woman, but she was strong, a fierce woman who came to a country she didn't know, but she did a lot. There were language barriers, and she broke through those as well. So she's someone who I would like to emulate, and that she inspires me until today to give back. And also, you know, what pushes me to do more and more and to contribute more is to give back to, you know, this area and the school district, and that has given us so much. You know, I love the community. I love working with people. So I feel like it's a way to give back.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Marwa. She's raised by immigrant parents from Egypt in Oklahoma. She married an immigrant and moved to Bangor in 2005, and she's now running for the Bangor School Board. Marwa, besides the fact that you have a master's degree in education, which specializes in assessment, curriculum, and instruction, what else made you want to run for public office at this time?
I am truly invested because I have four young children in the Bangor school system. They are thriving. They're doing amazingly well. The school system is phenomenal. So I feel like I would love to be part of that conversation about what makes Bangor so wonderful and what makes the school district and the school system so wonderful, and to make sure that it's like that for all students. Not just students like my kids, but for all students. I would like to be the voice for diversity. You know, again, we have a lot of immigrants that are slowly trickling in. That wasn't a thing in the past, but now that I see more and more children of immigrants, I would like to help them. I would like to see those parents stay here, and I would like to see the children thrive as well. So I truly want equity for all. I want to help with the cultural competency part. You know, since I have been part of both worlds and I truly get it, I truly understand how it feels to be possibly a new Mainer. A lot of people have fear, and I hear that a lot. It's such a white state. Well, yes, it is, but there are so many wonderful programs and so many wonderful people that are around you to help. And I truly want them to see the beauty that we saw and get them to stay here. So that really, really pushes me. And I truly want to represent the different groups and the community.
Yes, I'm giving people the idea that they could do it too.
Absolutely.
You know, you've been here all your life. But this is what happens in the life cycle of immigrants. You know, you get your feet under you, and then you want to give back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then you also came by this with your friend group. Do you want to say a few words about your amazing friends here in Bangor?
Oh my goodness. My two friends, Angela Okafor, who's running for Bangor City Council. Oh, she is, I call her a social justice warrior. She's an amazing friend. She's an amazing mother. She's a businesswoman. She wears so many different hats, and she inspires me to do more because she turns around and she wants to help all of us do the same. You know, you can do it. And when one of us is, you know, has an issue or has a problem, and she's right there to help us all out. So when she said, you know, you should run for school committee, I know how invested you are, let's do this together. And that was amazing. She really motivated me. And also Tanya's on the board of the medical society with me. And so I've known her through that, and she's a good friend, and she's running for school board of Hamden, the Hamden school system. And so we really motivate one another and discuss the issues that may be troubling to others, and discuss the good things too that Hamden and Bangor have in common.
And you might even have a chance, you know, if both elected to office, to cross-pollinate and find out how another school board handles a curriculum question or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
And that's something that we already discussed.
Yeah, it just makes you stronger.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So you have four children between the ages of 16 and 7. What's your family's experience been in public school? You mentioned a little bit, but your kids also are involved in a STEM program, which is of interest to me. And tell me a little bit more about the specifics of Bangor schools.
Absolutely. So, yes, my older two are in high school or at Bangor High. I have a sophomore and I have a junior, and they're both very, very involved in school, not just in academics, but they're athletes. So sports are very important for them. So for academia, both Adam and Maya are part of the STEM program. And initially, and I'm an English major, so I, you know, I was like, are you sure you want, I kind of thought that it would be just STEM, and they wouldn't get to be as involved in other subjects, for example, that they enjoyed, but this is not true as well. It's been rigorous, it's been challenging across the board. So they have the very challenging subjects, you know, obviously science, technology, engineering, and math. But my daughter, for example, is in an honors class that, I kid you not, it's college level. It feels like the workload, the challenging readings that they're doing, the writing prompts, it's amazing. And I watch her, you know, on the weekends, she wants to work. And it's not like she doesn't feel like it's a dread. No, Mom, this book is amazing. This novel is amazing. And, you know, the writing prompts are challenging her critically, and the higher critical thinking is just amazing. Everything that takes place. And I watch them and they're beaming and they're talking about their science fair projects. And, you know, so it truly is like all encompassing. I don't feel like it's just the science part or math, although obviously it's heavily rooted in that, but even the English or the A push. So the teachers are phenomenal. I think they really challenge them. And that's something I love about the schools, the Bangor school system. And not only that, but they get to do all kinds of other things. So they're well-rounded, and the Bangor, especially Bangor High, they really encourage their students to do that. Don't just stick to academia, but sports. Adam played football for Bangor High, and they swam on the swim teams and the track teams as well, and made it to states. And these are things that I say, you know, it's good for your CV, but your high school CV. But not only that, but it truly makes a well-rounded young men and women.
And prepared to go to any university they can get into.
Very true. And the clubs too, you know, they're both doing student council and key clubs. So a lot of community service and leadership qualities that they're getting from there as well.
And any special highlights for the younger ones?
The younger ones. So my second daughter is at Cowan, and Cowan, you know, it really truly trains them, gets them ready for Bangor High. So
that's the middle school.
It's the middle school here in Bangor, and one of the teachers, three of my older children had her, Mrs. Miller. And again, she challenged them. I felt like the course was almost like a college composition course. And so as an English major and as an instructor, I was so happy. I was
so exciting, with the work. Right? When they it is really exciting. Engage and with the material.
Absolutely. And, you know, and even the focus on grammar and a lot of young, you know, the teens and the adolescents, they're not good in those skills anymore. But I was so happy to see that still there, still being taught, and the different writings, the genres and so forth. And, you know, it made me so happy to see that.
You were probably a pretty good student too. From the joy you get from there being a student,
absolutely,
I can tell.
Absolutely. And just seeing them grow, not only socially and emotionally and psychologically, but academically as well. It's such a pleasure for me to watch. Yeah. Even my little guy, he's a second grader at Fruit Street. And he comes home and he loves the reading challenges and the math challenges. So I truly love the academic excellence. And that's something that's prominent in the Bangor school system. And I'd love to see that, you know, flourish for years to come.
Yeah. Sounds like you have a fabulous school system already.
I truly believe so.
What's your big dream for the Bangor Public Schools? What do you want to help create for the kids coming up in the next generation?
So as we mentioned, student achievement is big for me. So I would love to continue that tradition of academic excellence that Bangor schools are known for. As I mentioned before, I would love to promote diversity and support those climates of supporting all students and having that cultural competency part and making all children feel like they're welcome, that this is your school, this is your district. When students feel that way, then it reflects on the school and the teachers and the administrators. So I'd really like to be part of that conversation, honoring culturally defined beliefs, the different needs and styles of all students, not just main students.
Yes, diversity can be economic diversity and social diversity and ability diversity.
Yes, and that's why I talked about the needs. Yes, the needs of all students, because, you know, needs and even learning styles, they differ, you know, so we really need to reach out to, you know, all community members and make sure that all those needs are met. I also, you know, safety and security is a big thing for me. So I would love to support school safety programs. And that's something with the mass shootings that we hear about. That's something that my high school students fear a lot more than my younger kids. And we talk a lot about that. So supporting those school safety programs and also healthy food programs. 51% of our students here in Bangor are on free or reduced meals. So having that conversation about healthy food programs and environmentally friendly policies as well. So these are all things that really, really resonate with me and I think about all the time.
Really 21st century issues.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's something that I think about all the time, and I want to ensure that every student is fully prepared for the next stages of their lives, whether it's college or not, you know, whatever it may be, but that, you know, all of their needs are met.
Taking care of everybody.
We hope.
Marwa, I love how you are deeply inspired by education. I see you get excited by the way it helps every child rise up if done well. And I wish you the very best in your pursuit of elected office. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having us on your show and giving us your time. Thanks so much. This was wonderful.
It's thrilling. I want to move to Bangor.
We would love to have you.
And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com. I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Marwa has selected for us. Can you tell us about why you chose this song to close today?
I loved this song only because it kind of represents who I am. I chose an Egyptian artist, but he's an international superstar now. He's well known all over the world. His name is Amr Diab. He has even collaborated with several Western artists as well, American as well. So I picked him because I felt like he encompasses me, you know, being kind of, everywhere.
East means West.
yes. And the song is Yata'allamu, which means they learn. And so it's in the melody and the music is just very beautiful. So
that sounds perfect.
Thank you.
حبيبي فين ما شافوش كده ولا يحلموا يتعلموا من الرقة دي يتعلموا شوفهم ما فين وحبيبي فين ما شافوش كده ولا يحلموا وانا بعنايا اللي عنده ضحكة زي دي واللي لون عيونه مش عادية يجي هنا جنبي يجي ليا احكي له اللي شفته وانا بعنايا اموت في الضحكة دي اموت في النظرة دي